almost everyone in the room. Almost everyone in the room stood up. My mother led like she believed. And she taught me to do the very same thing. And understand, no Christian influence anywhere else in our lives. And so when we got saved, it wasn't a religious experience. It was an actual transformation from one life to a new life. And there was no compromise. There was no in-between for us. We were as black and white as you can possibly imagine. She taught me to live and lead like I believe. The fruit of her faithfulness is still living on in my life today. Because when she invited me to come to church with her on Mother's Day, I went. But as I said, I didn't really want to be there. I came in reluctantly, but I left redeemed. I left a new man, and you need to understand something. I never looked back. I never looked back. And that has been a part of my life and my testimony ever since that day. I get it. I was a train wreck before Christ. But I also know that when I was introduced into that new life, that I threw it away. I wanted nothing else to do with that. I asked Jesus to save me from my sin that day, and he did. My mother's witness, and you need to hear that, my mother's witness, not her advice. She didn't advise me to come to Jesus. Her life was a witness of what Christ can do in somebody. Her witness, her experience with Christ and my faith in Christ taught me early that I needed to get out in front in this world and lead like I believe. Do not hide my faith. Do not shrink back. Press forward in every way possible. 6 months after I gave my life to Jesus, I felt called to ministry. 3 years later, I began to start churches. Mother's Day is my annual reminder that I have been called out to lead. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that every one of you have been as well. As we prepare to move into our new sanctuary, I'm not sure that this isn't the exact holdup. Because the truth is, in order for us to be that flagship that we've been called to be, we have got to get out in front and lead like we believe that. As I said, Mother's Day is my annual reminder of God's calling on my life and what a mother's faith is capable of doing. This is our last Sunday in this gym, no matter what the inspector says tomorrow. Listen, I'm not playing. I'm not talking about leading a rebellion, and I'm not talking about breaking the law, but I'm telling you, we're done. If we have to meet in the parking lot next week, we're done in this room and in this building, because, folks, it is time to move on. It's time to get focused. It's time to get busy and understand that we have been called to a higher purpose. Let me give you a glimpse of what that might look like. This is going to seem a little odd, so I want you to spend just a few minutes and be patient with me and let me build into this. The Bible says in Luke 17, 20 and following, that once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is.' Because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, 'There he is, here he is.' Do not go running after them, for the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Then listen to this. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People will be eating, drinking, marrying, and be given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. And then he says this, it will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, history is going to repeat itself. And he says, on that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Then he asks a question. He said, remember Lot's wife? Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. And I say to you, remember last week? Whoever tries to resuscitate that old life, watch this, will lose their new life. Whoever tries to keep or resuscitate their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life, whoever signs that DNR, will preserve it. He says, I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. Folks, God has been stirring our church for a long time. He's been challenging us to return to Him, to reset our priorities, to be set on fire, to have new life breathed into us, and then to walk in that new life, and to stop playing from behind, to get out front and lead with all of the gifts and all of the power and all of the authority that we have been given. Many years ago, after I gave my life to the Lord, I was reading my Bible, and I felt as though God was speaking directly to me. You ever had that experience? I mean, you're just kind of reading along in the Word, and somehow, you know, it's as though God has written a personal letter to you, and it's though He's speaking directly into your life. I mean, it is so personal and it is so real. Well, that's what it was like when I was reading through 2 Timothy chapter 4. It was as if God was saying to me what Paul was saying to young Timothy. And ever since I read those very first three words of 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word, it was though God was saying that to me, and I knew immediately that was my call to surrender my life to Him. He said, preach the word. I have felt a conviction to be His proclaimer ever since. And I have felt it was such an honor to have been called and chosen to preach God's word. God said, I'm glad you feel that way about this. He said, I want you to feel good about that, but keep on reading. He said to me in that same passage that I need you to be prepared to preach in season and out of season. In other words, there's going to be times in your ministry when preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be well received, and other times, not so much. I've had a lot of those times lately, not so much. Then God says to me, that in this call to preach, there would be a time that I need to correct, rebuke, and encourage those I'm preaching to, and that I would need to do that with great patience, careful instruction. And then in verse 3, he tells me why that they're going to need to be corrected, rebuked, and encouraged. He says this, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And folks, it was at that point that I realized that I had been called to be more than a preacher. I realized that I had been called to get out front and lead in this world, because it is impossible to lead from behind. He says here in verse 4 that these people that I'd be preaching to, he says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But no matter what happens, get out in front and stay out in front. And then he said this to me in verse 5. These people you're going to be preaching to, they're going to do some crazy rebellious stuff. But you, and I was sharing this with Karen the other night, it didn't say, but tell them to do this. God said, you, talking to me, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and discharge all the duties of your ministry. There will be seasons when that's popular and seasons when you're going to look like a complete fool. Kind of like this morning. But keep your head. Stay out in front. There have been many seasons in my life where I look like a complete fool. But can I tell you something? Every born-again believer in Jesus Christ is called to run counter to this world. Whether you like it or not, you are called by God to run counter to this world. We're all called to be out front, every single one of us. Haven't you ever felt, though, like you're the only one standing there sometimes? You look around and you wonder where everybody else is in the battle? Most of the time, that's not going to be real comfortable. But folks, comfort can be very deceptive and at times very misleading. That's what Jesus is talking about in Luke 17 when he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. He's not guessing. He's telling us this is the way it's going to be. And that it was the same in the days of Lot. Jesus paints a very vivid picture here of the sin and the judgment of God on two separate occasions. The first one was from Noah's day when God destroyed the earth with the flood. Verse 27 says that people were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage. The second was from Lot's day when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says in 28, verse 28, that the people were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. I want you to notice something. Jesus doesn't refer here to murder, to adultery, or to fornication, malice, envy, or thievery. Now trust me, all of those things were taking place in Noah's day. All of those things were taking place in Lot's day. But Jesus identifies something here that I think we ought to be a whole lot more concerned about. The Pharisees in this passage, as usual, began to challenge Jesus, and they asked him, when will the kingdom of God come? We all want to know that, right? I mean, it'd make planning our whole lives a lot easier. I mean, maybe you don't need to save as much for retirement if you know he's coming in a couple of weeks. Let me just say, for all of you that are trying to figure that out, it's not going to happen. Jesus makes it clear that the kingdom of God will not be detected by visual signs. In fact, Jesus takes this challenge from the Pharisees and he uses it to teach his disciples. He says to them, the time is coming when you will long to see the day when the Son of Man returns, but you won't see it. He warns them that people will say, look, there's the Son of Man, or here he is. He says, don't follow them. And all throughout history, there have been so many people who have attempted to predict the day of the Lord. And many have attempted to portray themselves as Christ. Jesus predicted that this would happen, and he warned against following these deceivers. But I want you to see how this is all woven together, and more importantly, how God wants to apply it to us. I told you that every born-again believer in Jesus Christ is called to run counter to this world. We're all called to be out front, leading like we believe. There's supposed to be something different about us. We're not supposed to be acting like everybody else. We're not supposed to be giving up. Listen, I told you I had a crazy week. Well, our girls, I happen to coach our girls' softball team, so we're playing this game. We're home, and I mean, we're excited. This is the team we ought to be able to beat. We get done with the very first half inning, and we're walking off the field, and I told the girls, none of you go in the dugout. Everybody get up against the fence. So they all got up against the fence, and I said, whatever happened out there, we're not taking into the dugout. And then I started laughing almost uncontrollably. I said, you understand, girls, ain't nothing like this ever happened to us before in the history of our softball. Nobody ever scored 11 runs on us in a half an inning. I said, what are you guys so upset about? Well, coach, they scored 11 runs on us. I said, I know. And now we get a bat. And you know what? We had so much fun, and our girls came back and won 17-12. Now listen, I'm only telling you that because there are times just like that in every one of our lives where we get to the point where we think there is no way out. There is no hope. That's not leading like you believe anything. That's just simply, you know, responding the same way the rest of the world responds. You know, God has called us to be different, to respond differently to the very same circumstances the rest of the world has to experience. But if they can't see anything different about the way we handle our lives than the way the rest of the world does, then what kind of witness are we? Listen, when you die and the preacher stands up and he says, anybody that was influenced in their salvation by this person, who's standing up in your funeral? Folks, we are called. We're called by God to get out in front and lead. Lead like we believe. Problem is, that's almost never comfortable. I mean, who likes bumping into people, right? I mean, we want to spread out. We like our space. We don't want people bad-mouthing us. We just want to get along. We just want to be comfortable. We want everybody to be our friend. We want to be everybody else's hero. But as I said, comfort can be incredibly deceiving and incredibly misleading. Jesus said when the Son of Man comes, when the Son of Man returns, that it will be as it was in the days of Noah. And that it was in the days of Lot. First, it didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, in the days of Noah, when God flooded the world, it says that people were just eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage. I mean, what's the matter with that, right? I mean, why the judgment? Why all of the wrath? In Lot's day, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says the people were just eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. I mean, what's the matter with that? I mean, why the judgment? Why all that wrath? Eating provides nourishment, right? Drinking prevents dehydration. Marriage was ordained by God. Buying and selling was a necessity. They planted. They had to eat. They were building. They had to have some shelter, right? These things surely are not sinful. In fact, they're encouraged. In fact, some of you would do well to apply these principles to your life. So why the judgment? Well, let me tell you, although these things are not evil on the surface, they were the root of all the sin in the days of Noah. They were the root to all of the sin in Sodom and Gomorrah. And they are the very reason we are constantly playing from behind today. Because you see, these people worshipped the most common idol in history. They worshipped self. This was a culture of people where no thought was given to God, nor was there any concern for the consequence of their own action. They just did whatever was right, the Bible says, in their own eyes. If I feel it, I'm going to do it. It was a selfish, sinful, fleshly desired world that caused all of the sin among these people. You understand, they had no concern for eternity at all, and they gave no thought to the things of God. It was the age-old living-in-the-moment mentality. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't learn from the judgment of Noah's day. They actually knew and understood that this had happened, you know, before. They live life on their own terms. They focused on their own lives. And their focus was on their family, their social life, and on their businesses. They were facing the judgment of God, and they just blew it off. A lot of pastors have preached, and a lot of people believe that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was sexual immorality. And that is understandable, because there was a lot of that going on. But Ezekiel 16 tells us a completely different story and gives us a very different perspective. In verse 49 and following, it says, "Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen." Now listen, they were involved in all sorts of sinful practices, but notice what God listed specifically. They were arrogant, overfed, unconcerned, and did not help the poor and needy. They lived life on their own terms. The focus of their lives was only on their family, their social life, and their businesses. They were facing the judgment of God, and they weren't concerned. They didn't care. How about you? Jesus said that when the Son of Man comes, it will be as it was in the days of Noah, and that it was the same in the days of Lot. He was warning us of what was to come because he wants us to be prepared. He wants us to get our minds right and get out in front and lead like we believe. He wants you to walk away from that old life and everything that entangled you in it. Do you understand that you have never had a problem in your life that has ever caught God off guard? You've never faced a crisis that he wasn't willing to prepare you for. When we look at the time that we're living in light of Scripture, it shows us that this event could happen today. And Jesus says it's going to be business as usual, right up until the Son of Man is revealed. He says it's going to be like a thief in the night. Jesus makes it clear that when that day comes, there's not going to be any time to make preparation. There's not going to be any second chances. He says, like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. That's how it's going to be, just like that. In verse 34, he says, "I tell you, on that night, two people will be in bed. One in bed and one will be taken and the other left." You went to bed tonight. And you woke up tomorrow, and whoever you was laying next to was right with God and you weren't. Can you imagine? And then it goes on to say, you're going to go to work, some of you. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. This is not to put any fear in you. This is for you to get prepared. Who's expecting him to return today? I mean, who thinks that he's coming back today? Most people would say, "Pastor, he's not coming back today. I mean, I've read my Bible. There's still too much prophecy to be fulfilled." So how can I get out in front of this? How can I escape the coming judgment of God? Jesus says, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me." Folks, it's called surrender. It's called selling out. It's called giving your all. You got to stop compromising. You got to stop backing down. You got to start preaching. You got to start correcting. You got to start rebuking, start encouraging. You got to get out in front and lead like you've got some sense. That's what Noah did. For 120 years, Noah built that ark and he preached. And he corrected, and he rebuked, and he encouraged, and he led from the front like he believed. Like he believed God was going to do everything he said he was going to do. It'd be hard for most of us to do that for 120 days, let alone 120 years. He warned the people of a flood, the coming judgment of God. And no doubt the people thought Noah was crazy. Many probably asked, you know, what in the world's a flood anyway? I'm sure that during this 120 years, Noah had plenty of opportunity for leisure time. But he denied those opportunities because, you see, when you lead from the front, you don't get time for breaks. And listen, I'm not talking about vacations and naps. I'm talking about leaving your post. I'm talking about chilling out, setting your Christianity aside for the weekend and just kind of blending into the rest of the world. The judgment of God is coming, and we have got to get out in front and lead like we believe that. It's our job to get them off the broad road of destruction that leads to death and bring them to that narrow road that leads to life. Listen, you need to understand something. This principle of leading from the front, it applies to every single area of your life, not just the judgment of God. God wants you to get out in front and lead in every area of your life. That means your marriage, your children, your jobs, your church. When the Spirit of God gives you a sense of discernment that something needs to be done, he's challenging you to focus, to get your mind right, to get out in front, to lead like you believe that you've just heard something from him. He's asking you to stop something many times before it ever happens. Listen, if you have a sense that there's something wrong with your marriage, why don't you do something about it? If you sense that there's something wrong with your children, do something about it. Lead like you believe. Get your mind right. Get out front and stay out front. Get focused. Don't you wonder how many times Noah had somebody stop by and say, hey, we're having this big party at our house tonight. We're going to have the best steak you can imagine. We'd love for you to come. Noah would have to say, sorry, got to finish this boat, for the judgment of the Lord is coming. I got to stay focused. Maybe somebody came and said, hey, Noah, my daughter's going to get married next month. We'd love to have you and your family celebrate with us. Noah's like, sorry, got to finish this boat. The Lord is sending his judgment upon the earth. I'm sure there were a lot of opportunities that came Noah's way during that time, but he had to decline every single one of them. God had given him a very specific task to accomplish. Noah was a man who believed God, and you know what? Every swing of his hammer was a confirmation of what he believed. It was an act of his faith in God. Now, don't let your mind go south on you right now. Stay with me for just a minute. We're going to be done. There was absolutely no evil in the acts of eating, drinking, and being married. There was nothing wrong with buying and selling, planting and building. These were and still are very good things. Trust me, there was plenty of other sin that was going on, but the emphasis of family, social life, and themselves was the absolute worst. You know why? Because they excluded God completely. It doesn't matter what God thinks. This is my family, these are my responsibilities, and I have to handle them. And I want to do what's best for me. They didn't hate God. They just ignored him. God was irrelevant to them. In fact, in verse 26, Jesus responds to the Pharisees with this phrase, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." Jesus is giving a word of warning. Jesus is speaking of the priorities of these people. Jesus is referring to the neglect of God. But he's also referring to the coming judgment. As it was, so shall it be. And although the emphasis is on the judgment, there's also a picture of grace here. It's as if Jesus was saying to all of those in attendance, this is the time to get your mind right. But remember Noah and his family? They were saved from destruction. And so you can be as well. Some of you may hear these words, and you know before a holy God in heaven this morning that they're true. You know that you need to surrender, but you're not. You know that your priorities aren't right. You know that God hasn't been overly relevant to you these days. But you aren't ready to surrender. In your mind, you've got plenty of time to make things right. It'll happen on your time and on your terms. Can I just tell you, it's that kind of mindset that illustrates the self-will and the idol worship that this sermon is all about. It's that kind of pride that will keep you separated from God, His purpose, and His plan for your life. I wonder if there were some people in those days, in Noah's days, who actually believed the truth that he was preaching. I mean, they probably, after 120 years, they're listening to this guy. It's like, you know what? This guy makes sense. Maybe we should listen to him. I mean, maybe some of them even had intentions of one day walking away from all the recreation, all the leisure time, and actually join Noah. Maybe some of them even said, you know, when I finish with all this stuff in my life, I'm going to help that crazy old man build that ark. Some of you may have thought that about this building. And I'm the crazy old man building this ark. In fact, some of you have called this an ark. There were those who may have thought that in Noah's day. But then a day would pass. And then a week would pass. A month and a year. A decade. And they still haven't finished up with all their plans. In fact, they've been making new ones. Ones that continue to exclude God. But then it happened. Maybe it was just a mist to begin with. Nothing to get excited about. Then a sprinkle. Then a shower. Then an all-out downpour. Can you imagine? All of these people are running to the ark. But the door is closing. Noah, wait. Let us in. Please, Noah, let us in. Noah wants to let him in, but he can't because, you see, the command of God has been given. And the judgment is no longer one day coming. Judgment is here. You understand that's what it's going to be like for us one of these days? It's not going to one day be coming. It's going to one day be here. I've said many times we're going in this building. And I know for absolute sure one of these times I'm going to be right. How many times does God have to say he's coming until one day you realize he's right? As the waters rise, how many of you think those people were thinking about all the parties they were never going to be able to attend? You think they were upset that they were never going to get to see their great-granddaughter's wedding? You think they were upset because they'd never have another big party at their house with their friends? Or do you think they were filled with regret? Regret for all of the misplaced priorities that prevented them from helping build that boat. Because I'm sure that as the water rose, their regrets grew. And the worst part is there was nothing they could do. It was too late. They had made their choice. They stored up their treasures on this earth, and now it would be washed away with them. And there was nothing they could do about it. I know it's Mother's Day, and I praise God for all the mothers that are here. But when my mother invited me to come to church with her, this is the fruit of her prayers. This is the passion that God put in my heart because of that invitation that day, and I never looked back. Some of you are here in the very same position these people were. And one day the Son of Man will return just as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be. And it's going to be too late to make things right. So why not make them right today? I mean, before the lightning flashes, why not make Mother's Day your annual reminder of all you're called to and all the commitments that you need to make in Christ? As I close, let me ask you, what is it that's in your life that you would give absolutely anything you've got and accept nothing in exchange for? Well, can I tell you that whatever that is the most important thing in your life? The question is it God? Because He is in mine. And I love my wife and I love my children, I love my family, but God is first in my life and they know it. I don't care how uncomfortable they are at times. I don't care what their likes and dislikes are at times. If God is not first in my life, then I'm a train wreck for them. As it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be. God has warned us all of His coming judgment. Question is, will you, like Noah, get out in front and lead like you believe that? Will you pick up your hammer? And with everything you've got, will you swing it towards the purpose in which God has called you? Would you stand with me as we pray? God, I thank You for getting me through this week. And I thank You even more for giving me the ability to have my eyes open to see how desperately You want to use this church. God, You want us to be filled with joy, with excitement, with anticipation as we move into this new building. But God, You want our eyes to be wide open with our focus so laser-like that we would never miss all that You've called us to and all that You want from us. And so I pray for those that are here today, God, that have allowed their priorities to be shifted for one thing or another. Lord, that our eyes would be open and single-mindedly, God, we would surrender ourselves completely to You. For those, Lord, that have heard the warnings and they've purposed in their heart to just kind of wait and see how things go, God, today would You just instill in them the urgency that they need to have and that they would find themselves surrendered to a holy Christ. Lord, I pray for those that are here that maybe didn't want to come, but they're here. I pray they have the same experience I had all of those years ago, and that they would leave here a new person, never to look back, never looking over their shoulder to what was, but only looking ahead to what is and what will be. God, would You have Your way in this church? Would You pour out Your Spirit as our counselors come right now? Lord, call out Your church to find themselves surrendered as we enter into this new promised land, this new adventure with You. Prepare our hearts for all that You would want. God, we give You the glory and the praise for this in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here and you know that you need to do some business with God on this Mother's Day 2019.